In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Here with your 225th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons will hit up the road here to play the Carolina Panthers on Thursday Night Football, 8:20 p.m. start at Bank of America Stadium. The Falcons are 1-6 after dropping another fourth quarter collapse game to the Detroit Lions, and they will be playing the Panthers, the Carolina Panthers, who are 3-4. We're going to take a look at them. We're going to title this episode, On to Carolina. We're going to do like Bill Belichick and just get on to that game. We're going to look at their stats. We got a lot of audio here from Julio Jones, Ricardo Allen, and special teams coordinator Bernie Parmalee. Apologize in advance on the Parmalee audio. Sounds like I'm in an airport hangar when I speak, and then when he speaks, it's real loud and clear. So just fight through that with me when we get to that. But let's look at these surprising Carolina Panthers. They were thought to be the last place team in the NFC South. They're holding on to third place right now, chasing Tampa Bay and New Orleans. And the Falcons are in last place at 1-6. Carolina is it's a stunner because they flipped their roster, got rid of the quarterback, brought in a new quarterback, new coach from college. College coordinator who had been in the NFL, though, Joe Brady. But they lost the opener 30-34 to the Raiders. They then lost to Tampa Bay 31-17. Then put together a three-game winning streak there, beating the Chargers 21-16. The Cardinals, that looks like a big win right now, 31-21. And beat the Falcons 23-16. They blitzed them right before the half. It was 7-6. Then boom, DJ Moore gets loose, 57 yards. They stop him. Then Bridgewater takes him down the field. And you know, the end of halves has been a problem. End of games have been a problem also. So that was one of the games there. Then all of a sudden, you know, game 7-6. Next thing you know, it's 20-7 at halftime. So, you know, Falcons scramble back, got two field goals, and then they're driving, they're on the five, and Matt Ryan throws an interception to some D-back who was, you know, an undrafted guy or something. I don't know. He threw it right to him, though, so he caught it. Good play by him. Then October the 18th, they lost to the Chicago Bears 23-16, and then they lost last week in another tough one, 27-24. So we know them. We don't know them like, you know, we knew the Cam teams and Coach Rivera's teams is over the years. But they let's review the playmakers here. The big one's coming back. I don't think so. I think they're making the Falcons get ready for McCaffrey. High right ankle sprain. In the second game is that's September the 20th. We're at October the 28th. That's a month. That's about right. You know, 4 to 6 weeks on those. So, yeah, that's five games. This would be a little bit early, but, you know, I think they're doing the whole injury fake thing and to make the Falcons get ready for him, and then he'll be back next week. But anyway, that's their big guy. Went for 2,300 yards last year, all pro, 1,000 receiving and 1,000 on the ground. He was all they had last year, and heck, they used him. League leading 403 touches. So if he plays, you know, the Falcons usually just stick Deion on him, and they just fight all game. So they try to make somebody else beat you. So that's what we'll expect if he does play. But Mike Davis has been filling in. He had a strong game last time. I think 16 for 89. Also had a touchdown reception. Stevenson High, South Carolina. Mike Davis, 71 for 284. He's averaging 4 carry and 2 touchdowns. 37 catches out of the backfield. So, yeah, they're just those are all touches that would have been McCaffrey. So they didn't stop the show with him out. 37 for 233 and 2 touchdowns. Leading receiver is Robbie Anderson. He's closing in on a career high. He had 941 his second season with the Jets. He's got 46 catches already for 640 yards. Just one touchdown. Their leading touchdown receiver is DJ Moore. 31 for 567. He had a 74-yarder last week. Is that a T there? Yep, that was a touchdown. 71 touchdown behind that. So, you know, those are the names you're going to hear. Curtis Samuel, the former Buckeye, he got in the backfield a little bit last week. He played some running back at Ohio State. He's rushed 16 times for 68. So he's averaging 4.3 a carry. He's also caught 25 for 231, 9.2 average. So those are their main weapons. McCaffrey, Davis, Robbie Anderson, wide out. I don't know if you double him, but heck, he's productive. Samuel's a speed guy, can take the top off. And then DJ Moore, you saw the catch and run, beat the Falcons with 57 yarder to get that thing started. It was 7-6 till he took off. And so you got to know where he is. I did a little piece in the Cover 9 at 9 blog on DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley. You know, one went 24, first receiver in the draft, and Ridley went 26, two picks later. You know, look at their stats. They got about 40 games in the league. So you can throw that, well, you don't know until you're 3 years in. Well, we're pretty much 3 years in, so we could look back at that one. Now, 5 interceptions. Brian Burns, we asked Coach about him today, and he's got 3 sacks. He had a big play last game, but, yeah, they've only got 6 sacks. So, I mean, those are the playmakers for the Carolina Panthers, 3-4, trying to snap their 2-game slot. And, you know, so the Falcons will be on notice for that when they get up to Carolina. Let's go hear from Julio. Julio on the psyche of the team. Then on the Carolina D-backs, we have him break down the defense for us. And then Ricardo Allen on that last play of the game. And then why they're having so much trouble with the dagger plays. When you know they're going to throw a deep in cut and you can't stop it. And you know they're trying to get out of bounds. You can't stop it. And it's happening way too much at the end of halves and the end of games. So I think he just blitzed at that point. But we'll see how Raheem plays that. And then we got Bernie Parmalee on special teams. So we're just going to roll through the audio here. We'll come back and break down the tail of the tape. We're going to start off here with Julio Jones on the psyche of the team.
Yeah, hey, Julio, what's the morale of the team and how are y'all trying to fight through this tough spell?
You know, we just got to keep working. It's a short week right now. Only thing that matters right now for us is us Carolina. So, you know, we're just trying to get the mental aspect of the game together and get our bodies right, you know, moving forward. Everybody's, you know, in a great spot right now. The confidence, everything is still there. We just got to keep playing.
Yeah, and, you know, you being knowing that you're going to be able to go this week, how excited are you to go against Carolina to, you know, help the guys out here, you know, at the box last time?
Yeah, like you said, I feel great going into the game. You know, I wasn't able to help the guys out as much as I needed to the last time we played them. I was just those guys' eyes. So now the physicality side of it, going out there making plays, things like that, I can do that. Starting this Thursday, so just looking forward to it, and just being out there with the guys, and you know, going out there and performing in the dog.
Said going out there performing and getting a dub. It'll be their second of the year. Avoid another 1-7 start like they had last year. Here's Julio on the D-backs.
Yeah, Julio, just mentioned the familiarity. Did you get a good sense of the Panthers' corner and how they're playing you guys? And what do you make of them so far this year under a first-year head coach?
They've been, you know, guys up, guys down. They've been moving guys around. Things like that. So we just, you know, at the end of the day, we'll have to look at them. And, you know, they got Eli in the rotation now. Before it's more so a nickel. So we just got to see how those guys, how they're going to play us moving forward. But, I mean, I didn't play Eli in New Orleans. You know, now he's at Carolina. So we just got to see how these guys play us, how we want to attack them and things like that. But, you know, being a short week, the minimum preparation has to be on point, and guys have to get their bodies back.
You know, just for you, you keep talking about the short week. Do you like playing on Thursday nights, 4 days after your previous game?
It don't matter to me. You know, I'm a professional, right? We all ask to do the same thing. It's not like they asking me by myself to go do this by myself. Like, collectively, it's teams going out here, right? It's 11-5 and the Carolina Panthers right now. So it's a short week, but all of us have to do it. It's part of our job, so to get your body right, you know, got to go handle business.
That was Jason Butt, correspondent for the AJC, talking to Julio there. So he was talking about Eli Apple, the former Giants draft pick, ended up in New Orleans for a while, and now with Carolina. He wasn't there last game, but he's going to play in this game. Eli Apple's mom, Annie Apple, she's an interesting follow on Twitter. And my buddy Clarence Hill met her when they were when her son was playing with the Cowboys. Or it was a Saints-Cowboys game, something like that. But anyway, back to the Falcons. Ricardo Allen. I wanted to know about that the last play of the game. I know he had to move on to Carolina, but you know, we missed a part of the Deion Jones call because they got practice early and there's big fire on I-85. I'm stuck in traffic, you know, trying not to play with the phone. So, but I wanted to know, you know, because I think he is the one who left the tight end when Stafford got out of the pocket. And you can't leave the tight end. So, but he did. So, but then we did ask Ricardo about the last play. And those dagger plays that are killing them when they know they're coming.
Ricardo, could you, Coach talked about that last play, the ozone coverage. What happened on that play from your vantage point?
Yeah, it was just, the quarterback ended up just extending the play. You know, at first it was covered up pretty well. But the quarterback just ended up, extending the play, you know, escaping out the pocket, and finally one of his dudes rolling over.
And then in that 2 minute situation, how do y'all kind of stop those dagger throws where Coach Raheem called them? Where they, you know they're trying to get chunks.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But I wish we knew how to stop those plays. If we would have stopped them plays, we probably had this win right now. But yeah, you just gotta. It all got to work together. You know, when you're playing on defense, it all has to work together. D-line got to get, you know, pressure. Hopefully they can get the quarterback to get the ball out his hand fast, and you got to hope that underneath, and then the people behind are close enough that, you know, you can easily make a hit on it or, you know, force them not to throw it because it is a tough play to defend, but it is defendable.
That's Ricardo Allen on the dagger plays and the last play of the game. He says they're defendable, and, you know, they should have defended them better. One other thing on that play, Chuck, one of my folks broke down the rush for me, and Fowler beat his guy on a bull rush, then got tackled and rolled over, should have got a holding call. Grady, They stunned it, and Grady stunned it into the double team, so he was dead. If Means is up the field, then Fowler would have ran Stafford right into Means, but he was at right tackle. He didn't get there. He got blocked. So, you know, you got to win your battles. Tack went up the field with a bull rush and went past the quarterback. So that allowed Stafford to slide out to his left. And, you know, at that point, Deion is looking and, you know, it's Stafford. He was at the 10. He wasn't going to make it. There's no reason to leave the tight end. So, and then, boom, it was an easy throw. He sidearmed it in there to make sure it was on target. But, you know, we aren't doing the film review report card this year, but that would have been an easy one to do. Now, Bernie Parmalee, the special teams coordinator, moved over after Ben Kawika was fired. Bear with me here on this one because, you know, some of the virtual calls, I'm on speakerphone, he's on some whatever they got him on, and my phone sounds like I'm an airport hangar, but he sounds good, so if I got to repeat the questions afterwards, we'll do that. But here's Bernie Parmalee.
What have been some of the things that Brandon Powell has improved on for you in the return game as the season has progressed?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that he has done is catch the ball consistently. Even in practice, the point is that, you know, sometimes you have too many balls on the ground. He didn't have that many, but as a returner, you always want to focus on making sure that ball is protected. So when he had the one that was out a week ago, you know, of course, that's something we worked on real hard. But he's a conscientious young man, and he knows that he got to keep it tight. Especially when we was playing against a guy that was at a 4.34 speed, and they was the number one punt return unit, you know, in the league. So you don't want that guy to have some space once he catches the ball. So we put it on our flyers. We made sure that the punts was going to the single flyer, but they got to make sure they win so he can do exactly what you said is fair catch.
Bernie Parmalee breaking down the special teams matchups, talking a little bit about Brandon Powell. And one of the questions you probably couldn't hear was, were they ready to go kick the field goal in the touchdown that they weren't trying to score against Detroit, against the Lions? They were trying to get in, you know, get at the one, maybe sneak it in or, you know, run some more clock and then kick the field goal. You know, in retrospect, everybody's saying now they should have just kneeled. Detroit didn't have any more timeouts, and they could have just ran the clock down that way. Been an easy dub, easy W there, but didn't happen that way. So let's go to the tail of the tape here. We got it all mapped out. It's broken down. Carolina's defense is the star here of this game. They are in the top 16 and 3 of the 4 key categories, and just right outside in the run game. So the Falcons are going to have some tough sledding here. 24 points a game, 13th. Total offense, 351-1. That's 13th. Their run game is giving up 124 a game, which is 18th. And the pass is giving up 227.1, which is 10th. So they're pretty stout. They're middle-of-the-road stout. Not the 78 Steelers, but, you know, they make you earn everything. So the Falcons' best unit, well, what they do best is pass the ball. So you got the 6th-rated pass offense at 401 a game going against the 10th-best pass defense. So that's two top 10 units out there when the Falcons are going on against the Carolinas. So that's strength on strength there. Now, Falcons are points 13th, 26.3. Yards rushing, they're tied for 20th at 105.4. Last couple games have been way under 4 yards of carry, but they stay with it. Net passing yards, 295.6, third in the league. They're getting yards, but not scoring. But they're 13th, 6, 20th, and 2. So they're 3-for-1 also, 20 just right outside of the top 16 in rushing. So that's a strength on strength. Falcons offense on Carolina's defense. Those are both of the team's best units. Now, let's look at how the Falcons defense should match up against the Panthers. Their offense is in the top 16 and 2 categories, 2 of the 4. The Falcons are just in 1, so that's advantage Panthers. They are 25th in points per game, 23.1, 16th in total offense, 369.1, and 20th in rushing yards, 105.4, and passing yards, 263.7. They're 11th. So that's 2 in the top 16 against the Falcons defense, which is only 1 in the top 16, and then they're near the bottom and everything else. Points, 29.6, they're 26. Total offense, 425.9. And then they're 6 against the run at 92.4. But, you know, I think that's a factor of the fact that they're giving up 333.4 yards in the air. So nobody's trying to run. They don't have to. They can throw it. And at the end of quarters and the end of games, you know, they would move right down the field, 75 yards all in the air. Last week in Minnesota, they had them to 215 with 7:07 left in the game. And it ends up at 430 yards or something. So They can give it up quick, and that's not a good thing. So maybe they'll get that squared away over the course of these last 9 games. So possession, time of possession was key in their win in Minnesota. They got to keep the defense off the field. They were trying to keep them off the field at the end of the game. Didn't work. You know, they should have just kneeled. But time of possession, Falcons, 30 minutes, 56 seconds, which is 9th. And Carolina does it, too. They're trying to keep their defense off the field. Their defense is looking pretty good playing zone. 7 with their 7th, 31 minutes, 15 seconds per game. So both teams, time of possession is how you try to balance things out. And they're both plus 2 in turnover differential. So that's getting it pretty good. You know, that's 9. Top for 9th. That's in the top 16. So, you know, you're going to live with that for on both sides of the ball. So we're going to get on out of here. 225th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. You know, we're going to ask you to, you know, subscribe and review and sign up for the alerts and the emails on AJC.com. You can follow us on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC. In our Facebook page, Atlanta Falcons News Now. We get out all the stories on that. I ask you to bookmark your Falcons page on AJC.com, and you'll get all the updates throughout the day and throughout the week as we cover the Atlanta Falcons for you. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of the week.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.